getting another work week started with the Sports Rush Monday edition. I am Brett Rupp, along with Caleb Hatch. Big two-hour show leading you into your Monday night and Colts football tonight as the Colts take on the Baltimore Ravens. Monday night football for the horseshoe. We'll have that covered for you on the show today. Also coming up in our second hour, it's our 15 Minutes with Fish. We've got Don Fisher, legendary Hall of Fame voice of the Indiana Hoosiers, who will join us. Of course, over the weekend, Fish didn't have to work, didn't have an assignment because the Indiana Hoosiers had the bye week. But we'll find out what he did with his bye week. Also, we'll get a preview of what to expect as the Hoosiers have a big one against Michigan State coming up this Saturday. And we'll get Fish's take on it coming up at 5:20 this afternoon. Of course, our 15 Minutes with Fish, always presented by Cruzy Automotive Service. 46862, Parkview Sports Madison text line, 46862. If you've got any questions, comments, or suggestions, let us know what's on your mind after this big sports weekend. Crazy weekend of football. I tell you, we're going to cover a lot of it with college football, some of the surprises, some of the upsets, some of the dramatic finishes. Also, NFL football. A lot of teams might be looking for kickers if this season continues the way it's been going. And tonight, it is Colts football. They'll take on the Baltimore Ravens. And, of course, Lamar Jackson has to be the key and the focal point for the Indianapolis Colts defensively. I'm not worried about the Colts offense. I think the Colts can move the football. And the question is, how many points is it going to take to beat Baltimore? And I think you could actually contain this offense pretty well. I just don't know exactly how Matt Eberflus is going to choose to do it, but I think you have to focus on Lamar Jackson, number one. You have to decide what is going to be our approach to slowing down Jackson and not letting him individually beat us, especially on third downs with his legs. And I think there's a few ways you can kind of try to contain Lamar Jackson. First of all, you can run a delayed blitz at him where you know you're rushing a front four. And the front four, they have to be disciplined. They have to stay in their gaps. They have to contain. And what they're basically doing is try to force Lamar Jackson, almost like baiting him into taking a certain gap that's left open and then have that gap filled by a blitzer on a delayed blitz. So it's like the Colts almost set him up to trap him, make him think their lane is there, and then come up and close it. Number two, you could spy. Darius Leonard, is he healthy enough to be the spy? You've got to be able to move pretty quickly laterally with Lamar Jackson because of the way he can cut. And I don't know if the ankles for Darius Leonard are going to be able to handle that. You might be able to spy with Bobby Okereke. Somebody could be a spy. Colts have the right makeup in their linebackers to be able to do it. And then finally, you could play straight up and just say, you know what, we're taking our chances. We believe in our guys. And if he takes off, we think we can close and we can limit his big plays, because big plays are something that Baltimore takes advantage of. In fact, Baltimore tied for the league lead in running plays over 20 yards with seven. And I think probably about six of them are Lamar Jackson. So we'll see how the Colts decide to play this tonight. But I think when you look at the Colts offensively, I think they should be able to run the football somewhat effectively. There's opportunities in the passing game against this Baltimore defense, and I think the Colts could score 30. That's going to be my number, 30. If they get to 30, I think they win the football game. If it stays in the 20s, I think it's a 50-50 game. And if the Colts don't score more than 20, I think it's advantage Baltimore. So going into this tonight, Caleb, I truly believe the Colts have a shot here. I think the Colts can win this game. I think they're the desperate team to get a win. Lamar Jackson is one of those players that, regardless of how much you game plan and how much you prepare for what Lamar Jackson brings, you can't duplicate it in a scout, in a practice setting. And I know the Colts have worked on Lamar Jackson and the strategy defensively against him. But he's one of those players that scares you because individually he can make plays no matter how well you feel like your defense is prepared.
There are a lot of interesting things when I'm looking at team stats, comparing, you know, offense, defense, and obviously focusing on the Ravens offense here. So the Ravens in total offense, this is yards per game, are fourth in the NFL. They're fourth in rushing yards per game, 10th in points. So that's where things kind of change a little bit. Whereas you look at the Colts defensively, 8th in yards allowed, but 19th in points. They're middle of the pack, though, on rushing yards at 16th. So something's got to give. And I guess to me, that is the matchup where if the Colts can't stop the run, this game's over. Obviously, like you said, if one of the two teams gets 30 or more points, I mean, it's almost like a lock. They win the game.
It's, you know, one of the guys that's really good in open field tackles is Julian Blackmon. And I think it will be interesting to see, do the Colts pack the line of scrimmage? Do they bring Blackmon up? Kari Willis, who I believe is out tonight. I don't know if Willis is going to play. I don't know the latest status on Willis, but I'm not sure he's going to be out there. But I'm wondering if you pack the box with an extra safety and kind of bring him up almost in a Bob Sanders type of position, almost a rover type position, and have him almost as a spy, or him as a guy that can come up and line up in different places, a la Troy Polamalu, where you could put him in different places and maybe blitz him off an edge or bring him up the middle. Because Blackmon, to me, is one of those really quick, shifty guys that's very good, sure tackler. Could he be the guy that that they sacrifice out of the pass coverage to maybe put their focus on Lamar Jackson? But that, to me, that's where the Ravens beat you. They beat you with Lamar Jackson's legs. Yes, I know he's an underrated passer. He likes to throw a deep ball, but it can also be inconsistent with his accuracy. And the Colts have been good at forcing turnovers, so I'm going to trust that the Colts defense is going to play well enough that maybe they can finagle a turnover. Because the one thing with Lamar Jackson, even though he does pick up a lot of yards, he also sometimes gets careless with football. Sometimes he carries it a little bit like the loaf of bread and can get it knocked out of his hands. What do the Colts specialize in? That chop or the punch to get the football out. And so I think they could force Lamar Jackson into a turnover or two, whether that's a fumble, whether that's an interception. But I'm really putting some faith in the Colts defense to limit the damage against the Ravens. And then offensively, like I said, I feel pretty confident after what we saw last week that the Colts are getting into the right direction offensively. Carson Wentz starting to have more confidence in the passing game. I think he's starting to trust his receivers a little more. They've had more time to work together, so they're building a little bit of a chemistry. We saw in the red zone that Mo Alie-Cox might be part of the answer and part of the solution to the Colts becoming more effective in the red zone. And so I feel like the offense is heading in the right direction, but still it comes down to the stops on Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, really, if the Colts can stop the running game of the Ravens, and that includes Lamar Jackson, Latavius Murray, and others, I mean, it's ultimately what it comes down to. And the matchups are there for the Colts to win. I guess to me, the difference is the Colts' offensive line still is putting the pieces together. They're down Kwity Paye as well tonight. And I mean, Baltimore's played in big games, and the Colts, I mean, we haven't really seen them do a whole lot. Yes, they challenged the Rams early in the year, but that's about it.
The big question is, can the Colts beat some of the elite, some of the teams that we truly believe are playoff caliber teams? And looking back, it's starting to look like maybe the Seattle loss was a bad loss, that Seattle's defense has looked horrible, and the Colts didn't exactly light up that defense. They struggled against that defense.
Well, and I think with Seattle, they're not very good, but also their division, on the other hand, is very good. Mm-hmm. And so they're just kind of caught in the middle of that.
46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What do you expect from the game tonight? Colts, Ravens, 46862. Latest line. I haven't had a chance to check it here for a little while because I do have a same game parlay set up for tonight. Colts right now getting a full touchdown.
7.5.
Seven and a half points. Take the touchdown. Take it. Bargain. Take it. In fact, you can even on FanDuel, you can even go and take an alternate spread. You can even say, hey, you know what? If it's 7.5 on the on the regular line. I want to go to 10.5 just to give myself cushion. Take 10.5 if you want. I got faith in the Colts. I know, Caleb, you're worried that Baltimore's going to put this one away and put it away in a big way.
I just think the running game. I just don't see the Colts stopping the run and having a quarterback who can beat you in two different ways, through the air and on the ground. I mean, the numbers are okay for the Colts when you look at the matchups, but I wouldn't say they're great because the Colts allow a lot of points compared to the Ravens.
DeForest Buckner, Darius Leonard, Kamoko Touré, those are the guys that have to show their value. I mean, DeForest Buckner's getting paid to make plays in games like this. I feel like at times he's kind of been quiet. Part of that is because they double team him every play. But if they double team at the line of scrimmage, that gives the linebackers a little freedom to roam, and that brings into play Darius Leonard, Bobby Okereke, but Kamoko Touré, who is in there for Kwity Paye, he's going to have to make some plays. He had a couple of sacks against the Dolphins. I think he's going to have come up with some big plays. And I have faith that the Colts are going to be able to keep this game at least close and at least interesting, because there's been a lot of close and interesting games in the NFL. And so I trust that the Colts will not be one of those teams that gets blown out. But will, especially going in desperate to win, they know the importance of this game. They know that when they looked at the schedule at the beginning of the season, the first five were going to be tough, but they didn't want to come out of it any worse than 2-3. They've got that opportunity after the win last week against Miami. Let's see what they do. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. By the way, how did you do in your picks yesterday? I was actually cruising along pretty good, and then I realized it was because, you know, I had failed to hit submit picks, and so I was getting all the fan vote games, and I was rolling right along. Fans were pretty smart. They were maybe smarter than me. But a couple of games that I know I picked, I ended up not getting credit for because I didn't get them submitted in time. But
I went 10-5, obviously awaiting the Colts-Ravens game tonight. So
I ended up that's
five off the lead.
The neighborhood I was in, and there was one game that I remember specifically bringing up on this program, and I don't remember now which game it was, that the fan vote went against me because I was shocked that I didn't have it. I'll have to look later. So the Bears, they improved to 2-1, and they made the Raiders look bad. Man, that defense for the Chicago Bears really looked good against Derek Carr and the Las Vegas Raiders. Bears win it 20-9. You know, if the Bears can do this, this is exactly the script that the Colts were supposed to be following, which was defense carries you, offense limits mistakes, and try to establish some running game to build off of. And that's pretty much what the Bears did against the Raiders. And it's not necessarily sexy football. It's not great to watch, but the Bears got a win, and now they're 2-1 under Justin Fields. He's not putting up necessarily the numbers of an elite quarterback, but you can't argue with two wins and one loss, especially going out on the road to Vegas and getting a win over the Raiders.
A win's a win, right? When you have a rookie quarterback, I think that's all that matters. You don't worry about numbers and stat padding, any of that. You just want to see a guy come in and give your team a shot to win a game. And so far, Justin Fields is doing that.
If you want to talk about stats and numbers but not getting the win, let's talk about the Cleveland Browns. Why don't we?
I mean, I will say that I picked, let's see here. Where's my pick? Yeah, I picked the Chargers in this one.
I don't remember if I picked the Browns or the Chargers. I think I did pick the Chargers, didn't I?
I thought you picked the Browns. I'm not sure.
See, I have to go back and listen to the tape, but I mean, this game, the Browns had a chance. This is a lot like the Browns of Kansas City. They just could not defensively get stops late in the game. And Justin Herbert, first of all, looks like he might be either 1A or 1B among AFC quarterbacks right now, because we saw Josh Allen and what he did last night to Kansas City, just totally shredding the Kansas City Chiefs defense, which Kansas City Chiefs, you have a problem. You know, at first we thought, well, you know, a little hangover from the Super Bowl, but they'll get it right. They're a talented team. But now they're starting to look like, you know, this team's got some real holes and good teams are taking advantage of it. And Buffalo just smoked them last night.
Want to know a couple of fun facts about the Kansas City Chiefs? Guess where they rank in the NFL in total defense yards per game?
That would be last.
That is correct. Guess where they rank in total defense points per game?
That would probably be after what Baltimore did to them and the Browns put up a big number. And last night, that's probably, if not last, next to last.
They're so they're last on points allowed, second to last on yards per game allowed.
Oh, second on yards?
Yeah. So, I mean, we focus so much on the offense, but the reason they're losing games is because the defense is awful.
Awful. Just terrible. And so, you know what it forces them to do? It forces them then to be unbalanced offensively and have to throw the football probably more than they're comfortable with. They'd like to run an offense that's about a 50-50 split between the pass and the run. Instead, now they're, what, 80% pass? Oh, they were pass heavy last night. And unfortunately, it meant Patrick Mahomes kind of running around, and he misfired on a couple of balls. He didn't look to be himself. But again, you know what you've got. You got a Kansas City Chiefs team, number one, did lose the Super Bowl. Then they pay the quarterback, the big bucks, which means they had to make some tough decisions on some other veterans. And so, you know, slowly but surely, you lose a guy from your defensive front. You lose a guy from the offensive line. And eventually what happens? It starts to weaken just a little bit, and then it gets exposed. The secondary right now, just terrible. I mean, they can't cover anything. And so, you know, they could be frosting and not cover a cake. They're just bad, bad, bad. And we saw what Josh Allen did to them last night. But, you know, Baker Mayfield had a pretty good game against them. And the Browns offensively were fine against the Chiefs. Just the defense for the Browns couldn't come up with stops, just like they couldn't yesterday. They couldn't put away the Los Angeles Chargers. And the Chargers behind Justin Herbert's 398 yards passing, four touchdowns, ended up beating the Browns 47-42. Baker Mayfield threw for 300 yards passing, two touchdowns, no picks. Nick Chubb rushed for 161 yards on 21 carries. He had a touchdown. The Browns did not turn the ball over and lost. They did everything they could do to win that game and still couldn't win it just because the Chargers had Justin Herbert. And I think the matchup of quarterbacks kind of tells a big story that Herbert is part of that elite group. Baker Mayfield, good, not great. Justin Herbert, great, maybe elite, maybe one of the top two or three in the NFL. And I don't think that's overinflating things because right now, you know, Brady, for all the success and experience that he has, I don't think if you were building a franchise, you would take Brady over Herbert because of the age difference. So I think when you talk about quarterbacks that deserve to be in that top two, three, four spot in the NFL, Herbert's got to be right up there. Josh Allen's got to be right up there. I mean, who else besides Herbert and Allen would you put in Mahomes?
Yeah, as far as
I think
young
I'd still
quarterbacks.
Put Mahomes. Yeah. Young quarterbacks that if you had an opportunity to draft right now, quarterbacks in the NFL and build your team around a quarterback, who would be the quarterback? And I think Josh Allen might be number one. Herbert, well, Mahomes would probably be number one still. That's really tough, though. But I think Mahomes would probably be number one, then Allen, then Herbert. And I don't know, because then you start to get into that next tier where you've got the Russell Wilsons, you've got the Matt Stafford, Tom Brady. I don't know that anybody in this year's class, I mean, it's not like I would take Mac Jones or Zach Wilson. So I think those are the guys right there at the top. 46862, that's how you connect with us. The Parkview Sports Medicine text line still coming up on the show. We talk more NFL football, plus the high school state tournament had the draw last night, and we'll tell you some of the highlights of the IHSAA state sectional draw And we'll also give you a special announcement as to this Friday night's coverage of where we will be, when, and where. That's coming up before we get through this 4 o'clock hour. And in our hour number two, Don Fisher, our 15 Minutes with Fish. You're listening to The Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And welcome back to The Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Got a couple of texts that came in during the first segment. One said, Sports Rush, I expect that the Ravens will win in the fourth quarter after wearing the Colts D down. Another text came in when we were talking about young quarterbacks that you might be willing to build a team around. Kyler Murray. And it's interesting, before this year, I don't know how high Kyler Murray would have been on the list, but what he's done so far this season is incredible. Did you see the catch by Rondale Moore yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, the ultimate toe tap. I mean, unbelievable. It's like Rubber Man at the sideline, just reaching out, making a catch. Great stuff by Rondale Moore. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Hey, Kayla, by the way, I thought you would enjoy this. So over the weekend, I'm with my millennial nephew, 20-something, upper 20-something, talking about my disappointment in sports coverage that I get on my particular cable system. And, of course, guess what he said? Time to cut the cord,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, duh.
Got to get off that expensive cable and join the club with this streaming stuff. He says, you know, you gotta get with it. And he told me, first of all, he goes, starts telling me that I'm going to be able to get these options like just like an iPad or you know, you a tablet where you turn on your TV and you'll see all the little icons. You can just click for the streaming service and stuff. And he goes, you get all that. It's really easy. And I said, wait. I don't have a smart TV. And now if you remember, well, you don't remember. But
you don't need a smart TV.
You don't need a smart TV. Now, he told me I had to go out and buy a smart TV.
It's not true.
Really? See, now you're telling me something different. So
yeah, I
even sent me the picture of the TV I'm supposed to go out and buy.
No.
He's like really making the full recommendation here.
Do you have a flat screen TV?
I have a flat screen TV.
Okay, you're good. All right. So
LED.
All you need is either a Roku or an Amazon Fire Stick or a Google Chromecast. Basically just a streaming device that plugs in, you know, via a USB and HDMI cable. So you could buy a Roku for it's under $30 usually.
Okay.
So it's pretty cheap. You get that. You can connect to the internet. And you have options. They have Fubo TV. There's Hulu Live TV. There's YouTube TV, Sling TV. I mean, there are a bunch of different options. Obviously, just shop around, see what channels are must-haves because the sports packages, you probably got to pay an extra $5 or $10 a month. But
yeah, he gave me an idea of which one I want. I won't promote it on here, but he did tell me which of those services would probably be my best option.
I have YouTube TV, and what's great about that is you can share it among multiple, like you have an account holder, but they can share it.
So I share it to my apartment. Would you like to? Is that
well,
what
our account is full, but there are like four people. So we split the cost of it. So it's $13 a month as opposed to,
really,
you know, the 65 or whatever it is.
Okay. So I'm looking for a YouTube sharer.
Unlimited DVR space as well. That's the key for me.
What is it?
Unlimited DVR storage space on YouTube TV.
Oh, okay. So you can choose to basically save an entire season's worth of programs and go back and binge watch and things like that.
Yep.
Well, I think I have that. I don't know if it's unlimited, but I can tell you this. I can save an awful lot of shows on the current system I have, but the only problem is you pay $200 and some a month versus whatever these new services are. So anyway, I'm trying to come around, Caleb. I really am. And my nephew even offered to come set me up. Once I get, if I get the smart TV, he'll come over, he'll get me set up. So we'll see what happens. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. What's the deal with kickers? Man, did you see Mason Crosby, who's been a longtime reliable kicker for the Green Bay Packers? And wide left, hit the upright on one of them. And then the Cincinnati kicker, he missed two? It was just unbelievable, the number of misses in that Cincinnati-Green Bay game before finally the Green Bay Packers won. And Caleb, I had a four-leg parlay with the Packers on the money line. I was on the edge of my seat with every kick. You know what I felt like for Mason Crosby? It was kind of one of those want-to-get-away kind of commercials or moments. And I thought, that's kind of ironic because he's not going anywhere on Southwest Airlines this weekend because their pilots are all protesting over the vaccination mandate. And so Southwest had, 2,000 flights or something canceled over the weekend. And they were canceled out of Indy. They were canceled out of Florida, out of Vegas. So I kind of laughed. But that was one of those moments where after you miss not one, not two, but three consecutive possessions, and you miss game-winning kicks on three straight possessions, you've got to want to just go crawl under a rock somewhere. I mean, I would want to just go find a bed where I could put the covers up over my head and pretend I'm not home anymore. And, you know, he's got to go back out there and kick yet another kick and try to put it through the uprights. And to his credit, it takes a pretty strong person probably to go back out there and be able to do what he did from 49 yards, because that was no gift of a kick that he finally made. But Green Bay ended up getting the win over Cincinnati. But I think in some ways, even though Cincinnati got beat, they've kind of legitimized themselves. This is a much better Cincinnati team, and they can compete with just about anybody.
Yeah, I think the Bengals show themselves to be pretty good. The Packers, yeah, they're winning games, but it still doesn't seem like everything's right there. Is it just me, or does it just not seem like everything's clicking?
It was strange because Aaron Rodgers just kept playing well in the middle of the field, but couldn't find a way to put in touchdowns. I mean, they were relying basically on Crosby to win them the game because every drive seemed to stall right near the middle of the field or around the 20, 25, 30-yard line, and that's why Crosby had to try so many kicks. But yes, you're right. Green Bay is not clicking on all cylinders, and Crosby kind of bailed them out yesterday. But I do have to give credit to Cincinnati because that's a better football team than, by far, much better than they were a year ago, 2 years ago. You can start to see the progress being made in Cincinnati. Still, Chiefs, a lot of trouble in Kansas City. Josh Allen just lit them up. Boy, Allen was impressive. 300 and some yards, three touchdowns, no picks. Again, we were talking about young quarterbacks that you would want to build your franchise around. I don't think there's any question right now that Buffalo is the best in the AFC. If you say that Buffalo is the best in the AFC, because remember, I've got Buffalo and the Rams as my Super Bowl matchup, and I'm feeling more confident on it every week. But who's number two? Right now in the AFC, if you took Buffalo as the number one, who's number two? Is it the Chargers?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the way
Broncos?
They played, it's got to be the Chargers with the teams they've beaten so far on the season.
Yeah, they've got
they beat the Chiefs.
Got the wins over the Chiefs and the Browns, but to the Cowboys at home.
Cowboys are a good team.
Yeah, I guess they've had a difficult schedule, so I guess we would probably go ahead and say the Chargers, second best in the AFC. I feel like, am I missing somebody? Because those are two very young quarterbacks that have turned their franchises around in a short amount of time. And they're both similar quarterbacks. I mean, are they establishing the profile for the quarterbacks with the big bodies, the big athletic quarterback with a strong arm? Because that's pretty much what you got in both of them. In fact, if you didn't have names on the uniforms, you could almost switch those two and probably have a tough time telling which one's which. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We've got to keep this show moving. Coming up next, we'll talk high school football. Yep, it is week 9 ahead of us. We have got the final regular season game of the season. We'll tell you where we are going to be this Friday when we come back on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Glad to have you with us on a Monday edition of the Sports Rush. Of course, tonight it is Colts football against the Baltimore Ravens. Kickoff tonight, what time is it? 8:30 that they kick off for Monday Night Football?
8:15.
8:15. And so 7:30 is actually the pregame show, and we'll have that with Matt Taylor and company as the Colts take on the Ravens tonight right here on your home for Colts football, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Friday night, we were up at Eastside, had a chance to see firsthand this talented Eastside team. Really, really impressive in their 42-0 win over Central Noble. By the way, Caleb, I don't know if somebody was watching out for us. You know, we decided to break out of the SAC and go up north and do the game at Eastside. Everybody in Fort Wayne at SAC football games on Friday had a lightning delay. We did not have a raindrop. We did not have lightning. We went through the game. It wasn't even 9 o'clock yet when it finished because we had a running clock in the second half. We cruised through our game, no problem at all. And then got to spend some extra time at the Auburn Pizza Hut for the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show. But this Friday, if you've been following our schedule at 1380thefan.com, you've noticed that the week 9 matchup has been TBD. Well, today we decided what that week 9 matchup is going to be, and probably not a big surprise. We will be at Lures Field for the Bishop Lures Knights, coming in with a perfect 8-0 record against the 6-1 Snyder Panthers. It is a game that ultimately will decide who wins the SAC championship. We will be there starting with the Parkview Sports Medicine High School football tailgate pregame show and then play-by-play coverage with Shannon and I on the call for Snyder Lures, followed by the Indiana Physical Therapy postgame show live at the Southgate Pizza Hut. It is, again, a big Friday night of high school football coverage, wrapping up the regular season. Next week, we go to postseason play. And last night, they gave us our draw, and, you know, I was kind of trying to follow this last night, Caleb, and I was trying to get this all tweeted out as it was happening because they were doing the draw online on the IHSAATV.org, and so I had a chance to kind of get the matchups, and I've got to refresh my screen here so I can actually pull them, but going through some of the sectional pairings and some of the big matchups that we're going to have. First of all, every year I bring up this argument that there should be a process in place to seed the top teams. We should not have top teams from a bracket, especially when there are two ranked teams in the state meeting in the very first week. And everybody would say, well, you've got to play them anyway. Here's my problem. Kids deserve to play as much football as they have earned during the regular season. If they have gone 7-1, 8-1, 9-0, they have deserved or earned the right to play as many postseason games as they can then win and advance. And I don't think it's fair to a team that goes 9-0 to be done before a team that goes 1-8 because the 1-8 team happens to draw the 0-9 team in their sectional bracket. I don't like that. I think it needs to change. I think it's you need to somehow reward the teams that have had exceptional regular seasons that have earned their way to a longer season. Because, I mean, I remember when I was in high school, when you got a good team, you don't want the season to end. You want to just keep it going and keep it going. And when you put two teams like Adams Central and Cherubusco, who are both right now top six in the state of Indiana in Class 1A, and you put them together in the very first round of a sectional where they're the two clear favorites in this sectional, it's not right. And so, you know, these are two teams that could be practicing all the way into November, and instead one of them is going to be done next Friday with their entire season. I don't like it. I think we've got to figure out a way, whether it's the Sagarin ratings, whether it's the points, whatever, if you want to take a vote of sectional coaches. It doesn't matter. If you want to ask me, I'll give you my opinion. It doesn't matter how it's done, but somehow it's pretty clear in most sectionals who the top two teams are, maybe even the top three or four teams. And you've got to find a way to separate them in the bracket. Don't penalize a team that goes 7-1 by making them play an 8-0 team in the sectional. Don't like it.
I guess my counter to that is, and you throw out Sagarin ratings. Okay, so the Sagarin ratings could be at odds with, you know, you look on paper and this team beat this team while this team lost to that same team that the other team, you know, and they get them flipped around.
Oh, you can complicate
it. You can always find something with this setup that's simply not fair. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, I remember back in the day, there were basketball sectionals that were just completely lopsided, having, you know, 1-2 matchups, you know, before even the sectional championship. But I mean, that's just
basketball. I have the same opinion about basketball. And basketball addressed part of the issue that they had, and that was to break it into classes. And, the you know, football, same way. They broke it into 6 classes to try to give teams the best opportunity to advance as far as possible. Okay, so this is sectional 43 in Class 1A. Monroe Central and South Adams, they would have to meet in the second round. Now, those two are the only two teams in the entire sectional, 8 teams, that have a win-loss record above 500. Okay, so it's pretty clear. I mean, that sectional, it's obvious who the best two teams are. You'd like to see Monroe Central and South Adams meet for a championship. But I should correct myself. There is a team 4-3, so I guess they are just above 500 on the other side of the bracket. But South Adams, they'll open up against 4-4 Madison Grant. Monroe Central will go to West Dell, who's 0-7. And then week number 2, I believe that game would take place at South Adams, Monroe Central, and the South Adams Starfires. Also in sectional 44, it's a very first game. Adams Central 7-1, Busco 6-2. They will play. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, you got 5-3 Northfield, 2-6 Fremont, North Miami at 0-8 against Southwood 4-4. And you've got Triton, who's 3-5, getting a bye. They got the bye. Adams Central would have earned the bye in that sectional. The sectional with Lures and Eastside. That was another one I was watching for because I kind of highlighted some of the games to look for and see where they're bracketed. They're on opposite sides of the bracket. Lures and Eastside would not meet until a sectional championship in Class 2A, and most likely that sectional championship would be played at Lures should favorites advance through the tournament. And so there's that to look forward to. In Class 3A, Norwell, really the kind of the overwhelming favorite, I think, in their bracket. I know Oak Hill 6-2. Peru 5-2, and I don't know what to expect from Concordia. Concordia always plays well in the postseason, but usually it's after they've been 3-6 or something like that in the SAC. They're just 1-7 in the SAC this year. Norwell 7-1. They're bracketed opposite of both Oak Hill and Peru, so that's not too bad of a bracket. 4A, though, East Noble Leo, the rematch, it's going to be week number 1. Leo will go to East Noble once again, same place they played during the regular season. They'll open up tournament play in Class 4A Sectional 19. Other teams in that sectional, DeKalb and Wawasee, are both 1-7, and they'll play each other. In fact, the Leo-East Noble winner will go on to play whoever wins between DeKalb and Wawasee. Other side of the bracket includes Northridge and Northwood. They'll meet on the very first week in Angola, Columbia City. 5A, Dwenger Snyder, when will they meet? Well, they wouldn't meet until a championship because Northrop will play Snyder, Northside will play Dwenger to open up Sectional 11. Those games will be played not the first week after the regular season, but the second week because Class 5A does have a bye week. 6A also has a bye week. In fact, here's kind of a twist. Think about this, Caleb. I don't know how much you would like this. 3 teams in Sectional 3, just 3. There is Homestead, there's Carroll, there's Warsaw. when they draw the bracket, two of the teams will play each other after a week off. So you'll have a bye on October, what would it be, the 22nd, there'd be a bye. On the 29th, you're going to have a game. And then on the 5th, you'll have the championship. The Warsaw Tigers got the bye, which means they avoid having to play either Homestead or Carroll in a game on October 29th. But Warsaw will play October 15th and then not play again until the sectional championship on November 5th.
That is a really long layoff that I would not want to have as a coach, to have your team prepared for the postseason.
It's not just 2 weeks off. It's actually 3 weeks off. The bye, then the next week off, then a whole nother week before you play the game. So that means Homestead plays Carroll. The game will be at Carroll on October 29th. There you go. There's the brackets, some of the highlights from that. And we've got to keep moving. We'll have to give you some SAC title scenarios because we know exactly where we're at now going into the final week of regular season play. Who has got the best chance to win the conference? What are some of the tie options and tie breakers in the Summit Athletic Conference? We'll give it to you before we wrap up the show. Still on the way, more talk about the Colts-Ravens matchup tonight. College football. Notre Dame really kind of stole the show over the weekend with Purdue and Indiana both off. Notre Dame gets a big win on the road against Virginia Tech. And the quarterback who led the way might surprise you. If you didn't see the game, we'll tell you about that. Also, a look at the most recent top 10 has a lot of Big Ten influence in this week's top 10. In fact, it looks like Indiana's football schedule. We'll tell you about that before we talk to Don Fisher, who will be joining us at 5:20. Packed show today on a Monday. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.